You're listening to dialectradio.co.uk, your local community radio run by volunteers. Log on to our website at dialectradio.co.uk to find out more.
And I'm joined again by Sam Downey. Crikey, it's about a year since we've had you in here, Sam. Last time we were talking about happy cities. This time we're also talking about happy cities. Now, this is an organisation that's based here in Bristol. It purports to actually works for government in quite a lot of parts of the world in allowing them to assess how happy their city is. But one of the most disturbing things about them is they almost treat should we say happiness as a kind of symptom of your mental health, and that if you're unhappy, perhaps you need treatment for a mental illness.
Mm, indeed.
So is there any truth to that?
Well, if there's any type of truth to it and there's something that's there's some type of change that you need to go through, then people telling you that you need to be more happier, people need to scrutinise that a bit further. And ask them, why do I need to be a bit more happier? Why can't I be just more content and keep on being more reasonable and keep on asking questions?
Because, of course, one of the main reasons why people will say nowadays that they're not as happy as they were is very, very simple. It's to do with how much disposable income you have, how secure your housing is. Do happy cities take these sorts of things into account?
Of course they don't, no. They focus on how your well-being is and also your resilience. And they'll drill this resilience into you, saying that you need resilience. And if you look up the definition of resilience in a dictionary, then the actual definition of it has two meanings to it. It has a noun and a meaning. So the meaning of it, of resilience on its own, is it's the resilience resilience-ness of British businesses. And so looking at those things, you go into that. So you've got British businesses as the first definition.
So the likelihood they are to go bankrupt.
Yeah.
So how solvent
this, they are. This is called occupational resilience. That's actual a thing. Occupational resilience that actually looks at the resilience of risk, for example, risk assessment. But the second part of the definition to resilience means something that bounces back, and not in the sense of a person bouncing back from a mental condition. It's bouncing back as in a piece of nylon is one of the examples given in the dictionary, because it's stretchable. You stretch it in one way and let it go, and it bounces back to its original position. That's what resilience means. But, of course, Happy City, and there's lots of other organisations. There's an organisation in the US called Thrive. And what Thrive do is they'll teach you about your well-being and how you should always concentrate on positive things, not negative things.
Well, but that's not easy to do if, for example, you're under threat of eviction from your home, or, for example, you haven't got enough money to buy food.
Yes, but these are the things which they're not.
And if someone says
at
to you, no, your problem is you're not being positive enough.
Yeah, but
you should be smiling and happy.
Exactly, you should be smiling and happy. But then you're not paying attention to what are the real things going on around you. And you're not paying attention to the things that you can do and take action
on. I suppose it is possible to be hungry and then be evicted from your home and still to be smiling.
Yeah. But,
not that likely, maybe.
No.
But anyway, I know positive through this whole Happy Cities business, we've got a couple of surveys running that Bristol City Council are putting out, and the questions in those surveys have been put together by Happy Cities, no less. Two surveys, one's called Behaviour Change for Healthier Lifestyles, and the other's called the Quality of Life Survey. So have you had a look at those, and what do you think of them?
I have indeed. I've looked at them, I filled them in. The closing dates for both of them were the end of May 2017, but they've now extended them. The Bristol Behaviour Change has been extended into 7th of August, maybe perhaps not many people was filling it in. And then the quality of life in your neighbourhood has been extended the 1st of October 2017. The reason why they've been extended is because I've challenged them. And the reason why I challenged them is because I filled them in first. I thought, okay, quality of life, this can do no harm to me whatsoever. What is my quality of life in Bristol like at the moment?
So what sort of questions are in there?
So questions are, strangely enough, nothing about your housing. It's all about community. So what is your community like? Are there riots going on in your community? Is there drug abuse? Is there alcoholism? So things like that. And then there's little things about your own health, but it's not like what is your health like. It's what happens if we would put a intervention into your health and made it better, would that be a possibility? So it's questions like that where when you analyze the questionnaire itself, you'll find out anything that's health related. GPs, there was no input from any GPs or health specialists whatsoever. So I challenged the Bristol City Council on this directly to their research team, and
because after all, this has got a Bristol City Council badge on it.
It does.
Even though the Happy Cities people are behind the questions and obviously being used, paid to do that.
Because the very last, when I filled in the questionnaires, the very last page, it has a Happy City logo on it. So I question that. Why is that to the City Council? I also asked another question about data protection and data protection sharing and also selling on. Because there's no dialogue between City Council and Happy City, and it doesn't say we're passing your information on to a third party.
Okay, so you fill in the survey, but you've no idea how that information is going to be used. Now, they're supposed to do that, aren't they, under data protection law?
They are, and they're supposed to do that straight away if another organisation is part of or another third party organisation is part of a survey that's working with the City Council.
So why is the law like that?
Well, the law is like that to protect our own rights, but to protect our own personal identification.
I suppose if you're filling in something you think is for the local council then gives or sells that to Happy Cities. Happy Cities might then wish to give or sell that to other people.
Yeah,
that is no longer private.
For example. No, exactly. And that would be breaching the law.
Okay, so the council's got to be absolutely clear about where is this data going, and they weren't. Oh, dear, that naughty, naughty Bristol City Council.
So you've got the quality of life, but then the second one is the Bristol Behaviour Change for healthier lifestyles. Well, I kind of, I question that. And this this programme focuses on improving your lifestyle using a coaching approach. So if you're using a coaching approach, that's telling you what to do, basically. And it's to behaviour change. So why is there a questionnaire sitting on the Bristol City Council website about coaching? So is that supporting other third-party coaches around Bristol? It's not quite clear in what they're doing. And it kind of looks like this consultation survey has been written by a third party. And, of course, it has. It's been in conjunction with Happy City and also a few other coaches. So it's selling coaching. And also that is going to be breaking the law.
So what sort of questions are in that survey?
Well, there are questions about kind of citizens' normal questions such as, so around lifestyles, diet, smoking, physical activity, alcohol, the NHS health check programme, which that's only for people age 40 and over, which is this question is for anyone to fill in. So.
But, I mean, surely what the council's trying to do here is laudable. What they're saying is here's a questionnaire to fill in. About your lifestyle, which actually you might end up at the end of it realising, well, actually, I could be doing things in a more healthy way.
Yeah. And Yeah, you can realise that, Tony. But because you got this consulting survey and it mentions how you could be coached to do things better, this survey is almost selling you things and saying that these services can make really bold claims and say that we can cure you from, let's say, smoking, which is, yeah, that's something that can be done. But diet, physical activity, these are all services which GPs don't do any longer. All those services were cut. So now you have this opportunity to offer it to third parties who can now run these services, but not for free.
So I suppose what we're seeing here is possibly if you were filling in something that some commercial organisation may then find that useful to know about your health or lack of health,
yeah.
And then they could target you with their commercial. Gosh, interesting. So that's the Behaviour Change for Healthier Lifestyles survey the Bristol City Council are putting out. Is that legal for them to be doing that without all the proper data protection warnings?
It's not at the moment. That's why I challenged them and asked them several questions about data protection and where is this all the data that they're collecting going to be used and shared with.
Well, the thing is, the council has to get back quite promptly when they're asked about things like data protection. They can't just put it on the back burner or stick it in the middle of a pile of papers and forget about it.
Rather than going through what do they know, through their kind of normal data protection ways, I contacted them via their direct emails and also by phone. But interestingly, via their direct emails, I sent them an email, and I've been noticing that the email which I sent them has been opened over 100 times without I've hadn't had a reply back from them. So I'm trying to work out, okay, why are they open it over 100 times, and are they looking at something and getting worried? They probably are.
Well, maybe. We'll see. Well, keep us informed of that. So if you do finally get a reply to your email asking them about whether they are actually taking the law seriously at Bristol City Council on this Behaviour Change for Healthier Lifestyles questionnaire, let us know. But also, I notice you've been looking at this relatively new organisation called Bristol Health Partners.
Indeed.
Which involves the universities, that's UWE and Bristol University, plus Bristol City Council and all the National Health Service Trusts. Would it include clinical commissioning groups as well?
It does indeed.
So yeah. It's all the National Health Service in the area, Bristol Health Partners. And they recently held an event.
They did. So with Bristol Health Partners, they run an annual conference called the HIT Conference. So HIT is an acronym, which stands for Health Integration Teams. And there's now over 20 health integration teams set up by the university and NHS in the local area. And they look at all kinds of things, dementia, for example. And with this conference, which I hold to celebrate the groups and to share information about what they've been doing in their research, I came across an interesting thing, and that was this. And this is also all publicly available on the Bristol Health Partners website. And they say they were doing some training with an organisation, and the organisation is Common Purpose. And Common Purpose, they run leadership programmes. They call it leadership. Tony, you know a bit more about Common Purpose than I do.
Well, okay, so Common Purpose, they're based down at Lee Woods, at Lee Court, which is also where various other business organisations are based, such as the Chamber of Commerce, Business West, people like that are based down there. So this is basically the business lobby. This is their purpose, really, is to try to hijack, and I'll say hijack, government money, that's our taxpayers' money, to use for their own businesses. And to say things to government like, well, if you give us a load of money, then we can employ more people. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that these businesses who most of whom will be paying corporation tax, get that money given back to them with the proviso that if the tax that they're paying then goes back to those businesses, that they will be able to employ more people. But the problem, of course, is that actually the tax that they're paying is largely more needed by the poorer people that don't have jobs. And so in a way, it's a bit of a con. But anyway, so that's where Common Purpose are based, for the southwest of England. They're based at Leigh Court, or they were certainly a few years ago. There's also a very good website called Common Purpose Exposed, which looks at the way that this organisation is running across all sorts of cross disciplines, for example, in the public sector and the private sector, in order to try to get contracts for people who are involved in this organisation. It's a bit like something like Freemasonry, or maybe the Rotary, where you've got an informal group of people who are all connected through contracts and through public service. But the idea is that because they're friends with each other, they will award each other those contracts rather than people from the outside. So although Common Purpose will talk about themselves as a leadership charity, what they tend to do is tap up, if you can use that expression, like tap you on the shoulder, people they think will be pliable, and then put them through this leadership training and then give them leadership positions, sort of infiltrate them into top positions in civil society and in order to hand contracts to their friends. So anyway, you could actually take a view, I mean, I'm not sure whether I do or not, that it could be a criminal enterprise, a kind of formalising contract fraud. But anyway, so that's my take on Common Purpose. I don't think everyone that's involved in it is aware that this is the way it could be used.
Well, one of the things which I've found out, Tony, is Common Purpose is now infiltrating the NHS, and they're using the NHS to bring it down. And this is kind of, it's one of the ways. So Bristol Health Partners have made it now public knowledge that they're working with Common Purpose, running these leadership training sessions with different organisers.
So this conference was the annual conference, and held at Bristol a few weeks ago.
Yes.
One of the things from the programme that I found quite shocking was, and it's all about leadership, supposedly, is it was teaching participants at the conference to lead beyond their authority.
Yes.
So that means to say, effectively, to try to make decisions that you're not actually allowed to make.
Yeah.
So in other words, to sort of strong arm and cajole your superiors into doing things that you want.
Yeah, exactly. And also that same expression, when I've looked into it, and the Common Purpose means of it, means that it's to, so leading beyond their authority. So if you look at authority as law, so what is beyond the law, which that actually, that meaning, it means breaking the law.
Yes, it could be civil or criminal offences being committed. Exactly. Also interesting that somebody from Common Purpose or the Common Purpose conference, somebody from Happy Cities pops up as one of the main speakers.
Yeah, this person is called David Ralph. And
okay, so who's he?
He's a director at Happy City. He's also the director of Bristol Health Partners as well.
Crikey. And what's his background?
His background is from the army from Wiltshire.
Right. So does he have any health experience? He worked in the health service?
No. I've met him, and he's told me he has some experience in management, and that's it. So he's not health or medically trained at all. He also recently did some training at an event at Bristol City Council on a subject of welfare. And he did a whole session about ESA and PIP. Of course, so he's not actually versed in those things and doesn't know anything about benefits or benefit cuts.
So this Bristol Health Partners sounds like a rather peculiar organisation. What about they have something at the conference called the immersion.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds almost like biblical, like a kind of baptism.
Yes.
What is the immersion of Common Purpose at Bristol Health Partners?
So the immersion is to immerse their people who are from different organisations to do a lot of peer-led exercises. They went to, for example, the South Mean Development Trust, and to learn about the... Basically, it was a spy mission, let's call it, to learn about the organisation, learn what they do, and then to bring back what they've learned about that organisation. And the next stage is, I don't know, what to... try to imply it and to bring it into other organisations. I kind of don't think that's the idea of it. But or is it a way to how to destroy that organisation to go back to it? And now, well, you know the inside.
Certainly
of it.
It could be intelligence gathering or possibly even brainwashing. Yeah, but I mean, I suppose immersion means actually going out and about and seeing what's going on out there. Anyway, also, what common purpose, another thing they were doing at this conference is this thing called galaxy mapping.
Galaxy mapping.
Now,
yes,
it does
indeed
sound like the sort of thing that might be okay for a classroom of five-year-olds, but these are all, you know, mature adults.
They are.
Galaxy mapping. So they're sort of taking them through the planetarium of common purpose.
Well, the planetarium.
How are they doing
of, or the planetarium at Bristol, maybe, but no. Basically, what galaxy mapping means is this. How it works is so it's something that's really, really simple. So it's all about inference. So it's a inference board. So imagine you've got all the planets lined up in a line in front of you. And on
a conjunction of the planets,
yes,
on a great long on the plane, about okay, it will cause all sorts of gravitational problems in the universe.
Oh,
but
yeah,
anyway.
But anyway, but so on the left-hand side, you have the mighty Sun. And somewhere in the middle, we have Earth next to Mars. And then to the other side, you've got Pluto, Neptune, and then one other thing, and that's black holes. So how it works is this. The influencer is the Sun. So how galaxy mapping is, you're told about the Sun as the main influencer. So you apply that to people. Who are your influencers? Who are the main people to go to? Or the people that you will infiltrate. These are that you now have a type for them, and they're called Suns. So this is coded language, basically.
Okay, so these are the kind of opinion formers, influencers in the organisation where you're working.
Yeah, or an outside organisation.
And also, they could say a target.
Yeah. So those are the kind of targets. But if you want another type of target, then you've got people who are labelled black holes. So these black holes are people who you want to go and harass, people who you want to go and stalk, people who you want to destroy their family and their work lives.
Yeah, but hang on, a black hole is destructive, isn't it? It's
yeah,
not really, you know, it's sucking in matter into itself and destroying things, a black hole, so we need to yeah, get rid of it.
Yeah. And that's your galaxy.
That's you.
So, so what common purpose, I've got a brief description of what it means from common purpose point of view, and they say it's all about success. Success in any decision-making or change-making process depends on being able to orientate yourself, so therefore you've got planets. What does the playing field look like? In what their workshops, which they deliver, they use tried and tested common purpose techniques to consider where the players and the key stakeholders you work with stand and how best to influence them in relation to what needs to be achieved. Yeah, sounds good. But then you've got a common purpose state. They have extensive experience of working with health and social care groups throughout the whole of the UK and also around the world.
I mean, just a minute, because the best ways of working are when you get together with people to discuss matters, come
yeah,
up to a conclusion, and then decide to follow that path. This
mm-hmm,
sounds to me as if the total opposite's going on, where they've decided what the path should be, and they're just simply then getting the various people that are a part of the organisations to do what they want.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's not effective change at all.
Like, exactly, it doesn't do that. What it
is. It's exclusive, not inclusive
yeah,
change.
It doesn't state what it does on the tin, basically.
Yeah, interesting. What about the moon? What are you if you're a moon?
Yeah, I haven't worked that bit out yet. I don't think the moon is involved, or any moons around
actually,
other planets.
Actually, I can tell you what the moon is. It's an invisible influencer. I bet you it's someone who sort of hangs around in the background and has a lot of power. But anyway, so absolutely fascinating. Anyway, look, let's step back from this for a moment,
yeah,
Sam. What is the bigger picture here, because we're looking at two organisations, actually with certain people kind of cross-fertilising between the two, these health integration teams and the Bristol Health Partners and also Happy Cities. What's the bigger picture? What's it all about?
Okay, so the bigger picture is, first of all, it's about money. Where is money flowing through? How can we use it to our best advantage? But also, how can we waste it as well? I've talked about how we can destroy the NHS.
Why would they want to waste money?
Well, to waste it is to build a service that's not needed, fund it, and that's the way you waste the money.
But why would anyone want to do that?
One of the reasons is to destroy the NHS, for example, to destroy social care.
And they seem to have been quite effective at doing that.
Yeah, and this is one of the things which Common Purpose are really good at, and it's how you're taught to do things.
So what is their common purpose?
Exactly. What is the common purpose to happiness, maybe? Exactly. If you're using the word common purpose, you're also using the word, they made up their own rules, Chatham House rules. Chatham House means you can't talk about the people involved with it.
Okay, so you can talk about what's been said, but you can't identify who said it.
Mm.
So this is the idea of trying to infiltrate ideas out without anyone knowing where they've come from.
Yeah.
Pretty sneaky stuff. Anyway, is anywhere online or elsewhere that people can follow some of this, Sam?
Well, yeah. You can go, it's all publicly available, the Bristol Health Partners website has the information. You can just do a search for Common Purpose. And
I'll put a link to that on our website, which is dialectradio.co.uk.
And then the same for the for Bristol City Council. So all the both the surveys are up there with the Bristol Behaviour Change, which is quite interesting, and then the quality of life in your neighbourhood, also quite interesting. But do go and scrutinise and ask council what it's really all about.
Okay, Sam Downey, thanks very much for joining us again on Dialect.
Thank you.
That's all for this week. Dialect's Bristol's first weekly MP3 podcast. If you're online, you can subscribe to our emails or download the podcast from dialectradio.co.uk. Thanks to our guests, Kalpna Wolf from 91 Ways, The Food Charity, from Eddie Clark at the Bristol Art Bar on Broad Street, and Sam Downey, looking at Happy Cities. Also to studio engineer Dave Bazanko. Dialect's a Bristol Broadband Co-op production. Catch us on Bristol Community FM 93.2 every Tuesday at noon, and anyone can contribute.